Garcia. I'm sitting actually in Ocean Beach outside of Dream Street. I just heard the Spins play. So, and I'm going to talk to one of the members of the Spins. How you doing?
Hey, what's up? I'm David Barron. I play piano and sing in the Spins.
Well, you guys had a great show tonight.
Thank you.
And last night you were up in LA, right?
Yeah, we played at the Knitting Factory last night.
So what did you think?
It was awesome. It was great. Yeah, this is our little summer West Coast tour, and we just came down from San Francisco. We've got a trailer with all our stuff, and we're just hitting the road. It's awesome.
So is this your first time traveling together as a group, like this exact group of
yeah,
people?
Yeah, it is. We have this new guitarist, James DiPreto, who is kind of a name in San Francisco, plays with a lot of great bands, and he joined the band about 6 months ago, and right off the heels of a newest EP that we had recorded in the fall, and he joined us for our CD release party, and then since then, the band kind of feels like it's just begun, because we basically recorded two EPs. The first was a self-titled, the Spins EP, about 2 years ago, and then last year we recorded an EP called Passages. And both were very different from the other, and really spoke to like an evolution that we had. And then when James joined the band, and myself and the bassist Gabe Davis and our drummer Ben Grant, the three of us had been a trio for 4 years, and we played a lot of cover songs in college, and mm-hmm. a lot of parties, and we were basically like a piano rock jam band for 3 years, and we had an EP way back when, and we actually. I guess I should just tell a story, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, basically...
Yeah, tell a story.
Okay, so we met fall of 2002, and we were originally called the David Barron Element. And we were, like I said, like a piano rock jam band, similar to a Ben Folds 5 kind of thing. And we were that for 3 years, then we were the Element, and then we were the Spins, and we had about 100 different guitarists. we rehearsed. We auditioned absolutely a million guitars. I mean, literally three digits, like 100 guitarists. We auditioned and had in the band for a long, long time. And they all just were so bad that I play piano and sing in the band, and I just picked up the guitar and started playing myself, and I learned how to play, and I just played all the guitar parts on our last EP. So I played all the guitar and had no idea. What to do, having not finding like a real good guitarist who was actually like decent. So basically we released that CD where I played all the guitars, and I was desperate to find someone who was actually a great player, and we found this guy James. And since this last EP was recorded and we had our CD release party in San Francisco, we have been really trying to push things to a totally new level. Basically what I've done is we've had like two new songs a week, and I'm basically just writing my ass off for the past 6 months. We have like 40 new tunes right now that we're just trying to piece together for our first full-length album. And we're looking to record that this fall, if not the beginning of 2008. And right now we're just going on tour to try to build up our fan base a little bit and try to get the word out there a little bit more before we record this album, so that we have a lot more people listening to it.
So is there any theme right now with the songs you've written lately?
Yeah, it's a good question. Right now, the songs are a lot about finding yourself in a new place. And, we all just graduated college last year. Okay. And we moved to San Francisco together to be a band in San Francisco.
Oh, wow.
And
cool.
And it was like, it was the mission of, not getting jobs and not doing anything but the Spins, And so we went to the city and got a rehearsal space and just rehearsed our asses off. And so all these songs are really about the challenge of trying to find yourself in a new city and trying to do something you really care about, and finding love and finding peace with yourself and being young and trying to do what you really want to do in the face of knowing how impossible it is, being on the road and trying to trying to make an impact with audiences that have never seen you and are so saturated with so many bands, it really takes a certain kind of just belief in it, just not thinking about all the reasons not to do it. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's just essentially something I feel like I have to do, and we all feel that we have to do, and we believe that it's we love it so much that if people listen to it, that hopefully they can enjoy it too, you know?
So how'd you choose San Francisco versus LA? Or like LA or New York might seem like a quick fix, for example. So how'd you choose San Francisco?
It's interesting. Like, we're all from the East Coast. We're all from the East Coast. I'm from Florida. And Ben's from Vermont. And Gabe's from Virginia, actually. And we all always wanted to go to New York. And that was a real consideration. And what it turned out to was there are a lot of amazing, amazing bands in New York and in LA. And we all went to school in Palo Alto. We all went to Stanford.
Okay.
And so San Francisco was very close. And there was a really good music scene and a really good kind of fan base for pop music in San Francisco that we felt we could become a part of, you know, without absolutely killing ourselves, you know? And it's also like, it's difficult to be in a band in San Francisco, you know, just in a city, but it's incredibly difficult to be in a band that no one's ever heard of in New York and in LA,
yeah.
You know? So we've been there for 6 months now, and it's actually gone really, really well for us. We're really excited playing in San Francisco. We love the scene. We love the artists we're playing with. And it was just an easy geographic decision because, you know, from Palo Alto to San Francisco, and then actually finding out that the scene was so good, it was perfect.
So what's one of your favorite songs that you've done so far? I mean, to me, like, the two songs you did tonight, like Free and Balcony, were really kind of easy and had some catchy hooks and stuff like that.
Yeah.
As far as, like, someone who's a fan to understand and kind of listen to. But what's your favorite?
My favorite's probably a song called Right on Time. It's definitely going to be on the album. It's something we're playing every night that we're really enjoying. It's funny that you said like hooks and stuff that you can listen to that's catchy. I think that's incredibly important. You know what I mean? And it's not so much about like something that you can put on the radio or something that you can,
right.
You know, that people can just like, you know, it's not like art versus commerce kind of bullshit.
Right.
It's really like the artists that I love are, you know, really fucking catchy. You know what
yeah.
I mean? Like, we feel like we sound a lot like some Britpop bands right now, like Keane. We feel like we're really sound a lot like, and really new Silverchair. If you're familiar with that kind of stuff, like really kind of melodic poppy stuff, like really influenced by Brian Wilson, and, you know, and Billy Joel and that kind of stuff. And the song "Right on Time" that I love so much is really catchy. You know, like there's this melody was someday soon I can feel in the air, well, my solitude, you better beware, cause of you will be right on time. A melody came in my head while I was playing the piano, and I was just you know, I write all the songs on the piano, some on guitar but mostly on piano, and sometimes when you're playing the piano I write all the music first, and sometimes when you're playing a melody comes right away. And those chords and that melody came out of nowhere. And you know, it felt like there's this great quote by Bono who said, the best songs that you write just feel like gifts. You know, they just feel like they came out of nowhere, and you're thrilled that you happen to have, you know, heard it in your head. And like that song in particular, the melody, I just fell in love with. And so when I sat down to write the words, there were so many different versions of the song and so many different themes. And that first line of someday soon I could feel in the air my solitude, it better beware, it really spoke to me about that theme of finding yourself in a new city and finding, you know, a way to fit in and a purpose and being alone and finding someone else. And that song was kind of you know, I really feel like I'm so committed to the work that I love, you know, to music and to writing music and playing gigs, that it's hard to make time for, I guess, you know, finding someone else, you know, and that song was kind of like, it's okay if you are doing what you love to do and not looking for someone else, because that will come right on time, you know, it'll come whenever it needs to come. And so I guess it was just one of those songs where the melody and the words really meant a lot to me, you know?
Yeah, sure. So since you do most of the writing, do you ever get input or get feedback from other people in the band and kind of go, oh yeah, I can see what you're saying, and you know, kind of change what you're doing? Or do you just kind of go, well, I'm the writer and that's what's going on?
No, I mean, the band is incredibly impactful in all of the compositions. I mean, I write all the tunes and I make demos, and we all listen to the songs, and you know, at times when there's like a lot of frequent new songs, you know, like I was saying, like two songs a week for the past 6 months, it's important to have a really, you know, a thick skin and to really respect the musicians you're playing with. And I mean, I'm playing with unbelievable musicians, you know, and I love what, I mean, if they say this song's good and we like it, it's huge. You know, and if they say nothing, then it's you know, it's one way, one thing or the other. And if it's the song sucks, you know.
Yeah.
And it's and when we get together, they have such deliberate styles in their playing, and come from such diverse backgrounds. Like Ben learned drums in Ghana,
okay.
And when he was just a kid, and like learned crazy polyrhythmic stuff. And Gabe's an incredible jazz bassist and plays with awesome jazz cats in the Bay Area. And James plays in, you know, lots of like Americana country acts and lots of, you know, he loves metal. I mean, there's just all this different kinds of music, and they're such skilled players, and they really have an ear for music that will be accessible and music that's soulful, you know? And so me, like I'm struggling to be prolific, you know, because I want the band to have a lot of options, you know, and I want to make sure that we get a lot of different song choices for recording. And I also, obviously the songs are really personal for me, and they have like a really personal, you know, lyrical content and vision. So it's like the songs that speak to all of us the most, it's like a really good democratic process for finding the songs that will speak to most people the most, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, like they really, you know, we arrange all the songs together and we produce all the songs together, and they would sound nothing like they do, you know, without them.
Yeah.
Hey, girl, you come from, and where do you run after the mess you made? Now I stand by thinking of the things I have done.
Basically, you have two instruments that you're working with, your voice and the piano. What came first for you when you started dealing with music?
Oh, man. I guess I've been playing piano since I was 8. I played classical piano for a really long time. For like 10 years, I played classical piano and absolutely loved it. And the first songs I wrote were classical songs. And so, like, I've really had a very personal connection with that instrument my whole life, you know, I guess since I was 8. But singing, like, I've always sung, you know, I guess since I was a little, you know, before I can remember,
yeah.
Always been singing. And it's, I guess, obviously a song has to have a melody that people can sing, you know, or that I can sing and feels good and sounds good, you know? So like it's really important that what I'm singing sounds good for my voice and the melody is good, but I write primarily on the piano, and the melodies I'm writing primarily I'm writing on the piano. I'll write out the notes,
yeah.
You know, like my vocal melody will be just piano notes, you know, and I'll sing them and I'll make sure it's in the right key and range for my voice. So it's tough to say, I guess it's tough to say, because I feel, I guess, just as connected to the piano as I do my voice, you know.
Cool.
So it's pretty much as equal, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, because some people, like, they didn't realize they had a voice sometimes, which is funny, because some people who don't have a voice don't realize that either.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, I know what you mean.
I'm one of those who, in the car, I think I have the most amazing voice. And actually, that brings me to another question. What were you guys listening to on your way down?
Oh, man.
In the car?
We were listening to the new Silverchair record, Young Modern, which fucking rocks. It's great. It's awesome. We're listening to the new Wilco album we're really enjoying.
Okay.
Actually, that's not true. I like it a lot. The band still like it so much. What else? The new Arctic Monkeys, the new White Stripes.
Cool.
We love this guy, Josh Rouse, who, I don't know if you're familiar with him. He's he actually lives overseas, and he's been opening for John Mayer a bit.
Okay.
He's released like 4 or 5 albums. He's so sick. He's like a pop songwriter. He's awesome. And then, gosh, what else? Like Sufjan Stevens, we're really digging. And then my personal absolute favorite right now in the world is Ryan Adams.
Okay, yeah.
I just saw him in concert a couple weeks ago. Blew my mind.
Yeah, and he has a new album out.
Easy too. Tiger is fucking ridiculous. It's so good. His single, too. I just been listening to that on repeat. I love Ryan Adams. So we've been listening to that a lot. His Love Is Hell album. Coldplay, XMY, you know. It's just, you know, really poppy, soulful stuff, you know. That's the music we love.
As far as what you studied, did you study music at Stanford, or what were you doing?
I didn't. I studied psychology.
Oh,
and
wow.
Then in grad school, I did sociology. Okay. So I'm, you know, lots of stuff with people, which I guess is pretty similar.
Yeah.
Gabe studied music at Stanford, and then Ben did, like, international relations, I want to say.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But, so we're all over the place. But, I mean, to be honest, like, the school stuff was never even remotely on the same level as the music stuff, you know? We started the band the first week of college, and that's been my whole life.
Yeah.
You know, ever since the classes. I studied the night before the final, and that's it, you know? I mean, let's be honest, right?
Yeah, that's college, though. Like, you can pull that off.
Exactly. You know? Exactly, man. I mean, and now, like, getting out of school, doing this full-time, and, like, I really think about it like a job, you know? This is my job. It's my job to be creative. It's my job to, you know, get gigs. It's my job to write a song, you know? It's my job to fucking pour my heart out, you know, on the piano and on the page. And it's, like, to do that and actually take it seriously and not be completely full of yourself at the same time is, like, such an exhilarating thing, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's so awesome to feel like, to be doing this on a level where, like, we're gigging, we're touring with bands that are, you know, doing really well and are playing music that's unbelievable, you know? And sometimes it's really discouraging because you're playing at a dive bar with a band who's amazing and you're like, fuck, if they're playing in the dive bar and they've been at it for years, what chance do I stand, you know? But it's awesome, man. It's really awesome. We're so new at the game and it feels so new and we feel so young, you know? And we feel like so much is yet to be done and there's so much out there to do, you know? So it's so exciting right now.
So you guys, we spoke a little bit before we're talking now, and you guys are doing this on your own right now. You don't have management. You're not actually seeking that. You're trying to just do all this on your own. So what led to that decision?
Well, we had a manager. Nice. We had a manager for like 8 months and it didn't work out. And we were left with the decision to either seek management again or do it on our own. And the thing about seeking representation and like seeking a manager and seeking a label, it's a very thankless job.
Yeah.
And it's kind of pathetic, you know? Listen to me, you know, like take me. It's very much like help me because I can't help myself.
Yeah.
Not that there's anything wrong with that. I'm certainly not judging anyone who does that. I mean, and I'm sure there will come a day where we'll have people working for us and it'll be great, you know?
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like you get people to work with you because you simply can't handle the job. And at this point, it's like, I'm writing songs. You know, that's my job, to write songs, okay? It's our job to arrange these songs and to rehearse, you know? Well, why shouldn't it be our job to get out there and play live for people? Like, why shouldn't it be our job to decide what gigs we're going to play? Why shouldn't it be our job to decide what we're going to wear on stage and what lights to have and how we're going to, you know, how the sound's going to be mixed, what graphic designer to use? You know, like, all of these elements of the music that we're playing, all the business stuff is really completely important, you know, to all the stuff that's happening. And, like, we're at the stage that, like, we're not making money, you know?
Right.
We're you know, losing money every day, of course, you know?
Yeah.
And, I mean, even if we were signed to a major label with a gold record out and a smash hit, we would still need jobs on the side, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, like, the money is not to be made unless you're a superstar. And to have representation at this point, it's kind of like, okay, so it's kind of like the Woody Allen joke in Annie Hall where he's like, I don't think I could ever belong to a club that would have me as a member.
Yes. Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It kind of feels like, I don't know if I want a manager who's willing to, you know, like a manager who's like happier to represent us at this stage.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like we could be doing a lot better than we're doing, and we have the responsibility to make sure that that happens. And I feel like there's no reason we can't do that on our own. And when the time comes where we have a lot to offer somebody to work with us, you know what I mean? Whether that's notoriety or money or what have you, you know, like when that comes along, I want to be inspired by somebody who wants to work with us. You know what I mean? I want to work with somebody who's like, I get what you're doing, and I hear, I understand your vision. Let's do it together. You know what I mean?
Cool.
And at the same time, learning all this shit, like learning what's, you know, what to do, like how to, you know, book gigs and promote gigs and all that shit.
Yeah.
It's great to learn it so that when someone is doing it for you, you know whether or not they're doing a crap job.
Yeah,
you know?
It's good because it's not unpopular what you're doing right now, actually. Like, a lot of people don't understand what's going on with the music industry anyway. They're kind of confused by a lot of artists that we've all talked to, PyroPods, right? And then just in general, people are saying, yeah, I can do this on my own. And you're learning a business. It's like you're just becoming an expert in your trades.
It feels like an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
I really feel like, you know, it's like opening a, you know, it's like we designed a shoe, you know, and we designed a shoe and now we need to sell the shoe. You know what I mean? Like, I'm writing this music and let's get the music out there so people buy the music. And it's really empowering, actually, to figure out how to do that on your own. And I mean, and really, like, there's really no reason not to do it except for the fact that you're lazy, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, this is your job, you know? Do it.
Yeah. And you mentioned your clothes and your outfits. So you guys all wore basically all white. You're wearing a tie, but in general. So what was the decision for the all white?
Well, a lot of bands were all black, which is really cool. You know, nothing wrong with all black. But we were thinking about, we wanted to do something that would really set us apart in a set of six bands. You know, like we're playing night after night with five, six bands, you know, playing half-hour sets, and we wanted to do something that was a little different. And Ben actually had this great idea to use blacklight, and to turn off all the front lights when we come out, and just start with blacklight. And we were like, you know, if we had blacklights on and we all were white, it would look pretty cool.
Yeah.
To have all our outfits glowing without any other lights on the stage, and it would be like four, you know, neon bodies on stage. And so we splurged, you know, spent hundreds of bucks on all the lighting and shit, and bought a bunch of outfits, and praying that it would look cool, and it ended up looking really cool.
Yeah,
you know?
No, it does.
Yeah,
definitely.
And it's funny, like walking around inside in the bar, wearing all white, it's really fucking stand out.
It's
you
like,
know?
Hey, there's that guy in the all white.
Exactly.
And then you're
on
stage about, you know, 20 minutes later.
Exactly, exactly. You know, and so and I think it actually really fits the music that we're playing.
Yeah.
You know, like, I mean, it's not like we're the Strokes up on stage smoking cigs and flicking off the audience. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like we're very, I mean, essentially a family-friendly band, you know, and there's nothing wrong with that. And I like the innocence of the all-white, you know, I like the accessibility of it.
Yeah, that's cool. So, well, I have a few questions just about your first like music experiences that I like to do. Well, I'm starting to try to like make it into like my thing, you know.
Nice.
So,
let's do it.
What was the first album that you bought? Whether it was a CD or record or anything, it's probably going to be a CD with you, but...
It was a CD.
Yeah.
I was 8 years old. It was Billy Joel, Greatest Hits 1 and 2.
Very good.
And it was literally the only album I owned for, like, 3 years. And the only thing I listened to.
So what's your favorite track off that?
Scenes from an Italian Restaurant.
Very good. Yeah.
It's
bottle of wine,
Bottle of Red.
Yeah.
Love that song.
Perfect. So what's the first song that you remember having learned to play?
Piano Man. I know. I mean, it's very Billy Joel-centric. I don't know what to tell you.
No, that's okay. No, I mean, that's cool. I mean, I've never seen him. Elton John's my favorite, so we know.
There you go.
It's fine.
Is he, like, your favorite? Like,
your favorite
top?
Favorite.
What's up? Match made in heaven. Awesome.
Yeah.
He's
like
awesome,
we could
man.
Do, like, a tour together. I don't know what Dylan. I would do, but you could sing.
I mean, you're kicking ass on that iPod.
What was your first public performance that you were in front of an audience performing music?
First public performance. How big is public?
Anything.
I mean, I remember playing, like, Fur Elise.
Yeah.
In, I don't know, like, third grade in front of my class or something on a keyboard, like a little dinky keyboard. I mean, I guess
that would be the first
one? Probably the first one, yeah.
So what was your first paying gig?
First paying gig? I had a band in high school called Borderline. Actually, the girl that just walked by, her little brother, my best bud back in Florida, he was in the band with me, plays guitar and sings. This guy, Scott Effman, who's really good. You should check him out.
Cool.
He's online. Scott Effman, check him out. He and I were in this band, Borderline, and we got this sick gig at the ski resort, actually, called Beaver Creek Ski Resort in next to Vail, Colorado. And they saw us play, and... wanted to have us out and play in their ski resort for this event, which was awesome. And they flew us out there and put us up in this great suite. And that was the first paying gig that was absolutely unbelievable. And I've actually played every year there since with all the different musical projects I've ever had. Sometimes solo. Now with the Spins, we played there like 3 times. And that was the first and the best still. That's awesome.
Cool. All right. And what was the first concert you went to?
Barry Manilow. It was Barry Manilow. My dad took me to it when I was 9.
Wow.
And it was me and 3,000 old ladies.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember during Can't Smile Without You, he was asking someone to come up on stage and sing, and I was like desperate for him to pick me, and he didn't, which is fine. But it was a great concert. I really dug it. That was my first concert in Sunrise Musical Theater in Sunrise, Florida.
Wow.
Yeah, man. Maybe because I grew up around so many old people.
Yeah, really. You were in like the blue haired town.
It's true, dude. I love all that shit. Oh, man. It's great. I mean, it's like, it's like my bandmates love a lot of really cool music, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just such, I'm such an easy target. You know, I mean.
That's good, around, though. I mean, that probably makes it more interesting for you guys, too, because you're going to come from one perspective and they're going to come from completely other.
Definitely.
Right?
I mean, it's really funny. Like, sometimes I'll write a song and they're like, wow, this is really cool. Like, this is, it's right. You know, like, well, this is very cool.
What?
I'm like, really? You know, like, and that, you know, cool as in, like, you know, whatever that means, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
And having nothing to do with the quality of the song, you know, just like whether or not it's cool or not, you know? And then sometimes I write a song, they're just like, Jesus Christ. You know, I mean, actually didn't mention this. Huge influence for me is musical theater.
Oh.
Huge influence. I did a lot of musical theater as a kid, and, like, the way that I sing is really, you know, with my whole body, you know?
Well, you guys
I mean?
Like, have a big sound, too. It's not a small sound, actually. It's
totally.
It's actually pretty big, and it would fit well, like, within more of a, you know, medium-sized venue that...
Yeah. This felt a lot, like, very small, actually. Yeah. We're used to playing a lot bigger places than San Fran. But, I mean, you know, first time in San Diego, do what you gotta do. But, yeah, it's in that way, like, the kind of epic, big sound of musical theater and the melodies and the, you know, like, all the artists I mentioned, you know, Elton John, Billy Joel, Barry Manilow, they're very influenced by musical theater. And I actually write a lot of songs that would sound totally at home in a musical, and it's like, this is just not pop music,
well,
you know?
I mean, I don't know if you're familiar with, like, Spring Awakening and Duncan
Sheik.
Oh,
yeah.
But
I love Duncan Sheik.
I mean, that's a pop star who said, well, yeah, I'm doing theater, and I'm going to kind of do what I want. And so that's an interesting story in itself, his story. But,
yeah.
So, I mean, there are definitely those things that are happening in music.
Yeah. I'll give you our last EP passages. Actually, there's this song called Thick Skin. It's the second track on the EP, and every time I listen to it, it sounds like a Broadway song. You know what I mean? It sounds like a musical theater track. I'm trying to develop a thick skin. You got a noose where my confidence it hangs. But baby, I'm changing. Cause I found myself a girl I'm dying to. It's funny because, I mean, I love musical theater, you know, and I mean, there's nothing cool about Broadway show, too. I mean, there's absolutely nothing cool about that, you know what I mean? But I try to, I mean, that's such a, like, deep part of me, you know, like, singing a musical is, like, it was, like, Tony and West Side Story, like, 3 years ago in college, and, you know, this is such a big part of who I am, and it really, it's kind of like when I write songs, in the sense of trying to be prolific, if I have a song in me, I just get it out. And I don't judge it. I don't worry about it. I just get it out because the next song's right next to it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And sometimes you got to get through some clunkers to get to a good one. Yeah. You know, and sometimes those clunkers are far from cool.
So do you have any advice? Because, I mean, since you're talking about kind of the freedom of thought that you allow yourself, do you have any advice for someone starting a band or someone starting to write songs?
I mean... Yeah. Yes. I mean, absolutely.
What is it?
Well, you know, sure. Well, I mean, in a very practical way, there's some great books out there on how to make it in the music business. There are some really good books. I've read every single one of them. There's
God, there's this one woman. I want to say her name's Danielle Dale Schwartz, I want to say. First, it's three. She's three names, and the first one starts with D, and I think her last name's Schwartz. And she's written a number of books on how to make it in the music business as an independent artist. And they're excellent, and they're really right on point. And the biggest advice that her and a lot of other writers who write about the music business give is do not seek representation. Do not try to find anyone to help you, because you can help yourself. You know what I mean? And like, it's something you have to feel like when you wake up in the morning, you have to do it. You know what I mean? Like, if you don't wake up in the morning dying to write music, it's probably not going to happen. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you have to absolutely want it and have to feel like there's something inside you that needs to do it. You know what I mean? And so get these books. These books are great. You know, like there's all kinds of books, you know, go to any kind of Barnes and Noble or something. And there's like how to promote your shows, how to get shows, how to, you know, do all these kind of stuff. And like, for instance, we played at the Knitting Factory last night.
Yeah.
This band was walking by, this group of guys, and like, hey, how'd you book the show? And because they're like, oh, it's impossible. We feel like we can never get the show booked here. And like, my advice would be, everything in the music business for a band that no one's ever heard of is completely impossible. And that's like the half a waypoint. You know what I mean? Like, we got a show at the Knitting Factory because I sent them 90 emails and called them every day for 4 months. You know what I mean? It's like, you have to really fucking want it.
Yeah.
You know? And you have to be good, and you have to be serious, and you have to be professional, you know? And if you keep at it, you know, and you start small and have like little victories, you know what I mean? Like, if you're playing in front of two people in a dive coffee shop, great. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're out there, you're playing in front of people, you know? And you know, you go on MySpace and you meet fans and you just get better and better, and you have baby steps. It's like, people who are getting signed today, like, there are people getting signed in like late 20s, you know, even early 30s. Like, the guys in Death Cab are in their 30s. Franz Ferdinand got signed like when they were all like around 30, I think, right? I mean, there's a lot of time. You know, there's a lot of time. It's an incredibly tough industry.
Yeah.
And you have to really want it, and you have to really, really work hard. And not just work hard at, you know, you have to work hard at your craft, of course, but like, you have to work hard at the shit that sucks too. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But at the same time, any job sucks, you know?
Yeah, it's just the business.
It's just the business, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I guess that's it, huh?
Yeah.
That's the advice?
Yeah. That's the advice. Okay, and the last thing is just, do you have anything you want to say to your fans?
Yeah, come to our MySpace page. I'm on that page every day. Talk to us, please. My name's David, and I'd love to hear what you think. You know what I mean? Feedback is so important. Like, we really, every show, we know every person at every show, you know? And it's so important to us to know people and to feel connected with our fans, and it means the world to us to hear what they think. So come to our page, talk to us. I will totally answer your messages. I will answer all your emails, your phone calls, whatever it is, you know? Let's party.
Yeah,
let's talk.
Definitely. All right, cool. Thanks.
Thank you. That was awesome.
Every day I get dressed so slowly, staring off into space, not knowing whether I'll start to cry or be okay. And when I sleep, man, I always dream you're next to me, and your arms are reaching out for me, and you promise that you'll stay.